This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music. Music. Music.
Dwayne Probst.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Dwayne.
Yeah.
What's up?
You know me, I love some little Texas.
Oh, yeah. Well, good.
I do. You're like, I'm not in Little Texas. No, but no, seriously, I've been a fan of your band since you guys came out, and
I've been a long time, man.
I know. It's the first record, right? And it's just an honor to have you here because of what your music has meant to us. And
appreciate it.
I'm loving these tribute songs that are coming out. So it started with God Bless Texas, right? Was that the first one?
First one actually came out 30 years to the day that the original was released. So it was in June of this summer.
Look at that. Did you go into a purpose like all these tribute, like putting a tribute album together in a sense? Or
I did not. I was approached by a guy named Brandon Steen. And he is kind of the liaison between the Texas Country Music Association and our CMA. And he's been a fan of the band for years and years. And he just said, you know, hey, man, you know, I want to do these songs. You know, the big six is what we call them. God Bless Texas, First Time for Everything, Amy's Back in Austin, My Love, Kick a Little, and What Might Have Been. And he goes, you know, it's not working out with the Nashville session guys. It doesn't have the right feel. Would you mind coming in and producing the music on it? I was like, yeah, can my son play drums?
There you go. Work him in. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a dad for you right there. Love it. So,
worked out. It's been a lot of fun. Really has.
You missed one song, though.
Which one?
My favorite song of yours you actually had a part in. Hit Country Song. That's like my favorite. That's my absolute favorite song you guys have done. And it's,
thanks.
And it's
we had to have a 10th song for the Kick Little album. And we were sitting backstage in an arena show. And we literally wrote that in 15, 20 minutes. You know, we were just laughing the entire time.
And that's what I think is beautiful. If anybody doesn't know, Hit Country Song is basically that. It's like a bunch of things that goes into what makes a hit country song.
Especially in 1994, you know, you look at all the things that were hits in 94 and you'll know what songs we're talking about. You know, it's very tongue in cheek. It was just a lot of fun. We were kind of picking at everybody in country music, but you know, not in a bad way.
No. Well, the song, I actually got emotional at one part, even though that's like a song that's kind of like that, the piece together where it says, a good cause and a good dog and a good love gone wrong.
Yeah.
And the way your harmonies hit when you say that, those lines, like a good cause and a good dog, because I'm a dog guy, mm-hmm. and a good love gone wrong. That combination, and it goes, I am a hit country song, man. I get emotional every time I would hear that song. So,
well, I'll tell you, the good dog part came from the song Feed Jake.
Feed Jake.
Oh, yeah. Remember Feed Jake?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a nod to that particular hit country song. So there's a bunch of them in there.
Oh, I see that. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you. So that was one of my all time favorites. But the ones you mentioned, right, are ones that everybody knows. In fact, when I shared what might have been, still the reaction you get. When I saw a recent live concert you did, people are just singing those words back at the top of their lungs still to What Might Have Been.
Yeah, on a third generation right now.
Oh, for me, I mean, What Might Have Been is deep. I mean, I grew up, my dad was a huge country fan, so I grew up exposed to country music, but through the 80s, I was a metalhead. And that is one of the, What Might Have Been is a handful of those first country songs, because I'll be honest, I didn't get into grunge immediately. So when rock went that way, I left and went to country. Yep. And yep. What Might Have Been was one of the first songs that caught me, because I didn't feel like I knew where I was going to fit now. So to hear that song now still brings back a ton of memories.
Wow. That's, you know, we set out to do these songs 30 something years ago. We were hoping for that kind of reaction. We wanted to have songs that were timeless, and they've really stuck around. And I guess because everybody has a story that goes with a lot of these songs, you know, especially What Might Have Been. Because everybody's got a What Might Have Been. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
It's part of living, you know.
I saw Porter Howell do a how-to on how to play that, man. His fingers are reaching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got to have big, long fingers to do
that.
You
got to have big old monkey hands like Porter. I mean, when we recut that for this project, the guitar player was Sparky, Bart Matanga, that plays with Lynyrd Skynyrd. And he's a kind of a little guy. You know, he's not real big. And he was killing himself trying to get that big stretch. You know, he was really fighting it. But he got it.
It's amazing. Like when Porter comes up with that, it's like, man, how in the world did he figure out to do that? It was almost like, I'm going to come up with something that's going to be impossible for other guitarists to do. It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me show you the byproduct of that. If you don't learn to stretch your fingers when you do those large stretches, is what happens. You can't put my hands together because I was told I didn't stretch and do the proper warm-up exercises with my fingers. And there you go. That's the byproduct of those extreme stretches.
Oh, wow. Well,
in pursuit of a seven-foot stretch.
So when is the full completion of those songs that are being done for this project going to be done? You've got three out now, right?
Yeah. And Amy's Back in Austin comes out
the first. Yeah.
Yeah. Next week. I honestly don't know. I wish I knew the time frame, but I don't. I'm kind of in, we're kind of taking it as it goes. We're kind of watching, you know, we have so many artists involved on this that we have to work with their schedules and when they have releases and when they have a hole in the release schedule, so it doesn't conflict. So it's not up to me. I'm just the music guy.
I'm just the music guy. You know? I don't know. You have somebody else. I'll get it. I'll get the answer right. No, but I'm just excited, I guess, is what it's coming down to here, just to hear, you know, people's takes on these songs.
Yeah.
That have been so iconic, right? I figured with you here, I was going to play a little bit of God Bless Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's got Josh Abbott, Casey Donahue, Randy Rogers, Aaron Watson, Kevin Fowler, Rodney Crowell.
Yep.
The great Rodney Crowell and the great Pat Green. Boy, getting Rodney Crowell, that had to be a beautiful thing.
It was, yeah. Getting Rodney to come do that was, especially with all these young Texas Red Dirt guys. That was really the icing on the cake. And that's kind of stuff that I've been trying to do with all of these songs. I'm trying to use classic artists and newer artists, but the thing on this whole project is you have to either be from Texas or live in Texas, one of the two. We didn't want to just do another Nashville project with all the usual suspects. You know, we wanted it to have a theme, and you know, we really don't care if it takes off or not. We just wanted to do a cool project, but have the theme be, you know, a complete Texas oriented collection, basically.
Dwayne, I'm curious, when y'all did the cover of Peaceful Easy Feeling, did you have an idea that y'all would be responsible, that whole album, to bring the Eagles back?
No. And, you know, Travis Tritt was really the biggest key in that, with that, when he got them together to do the Take It Easy video. Those guys had not been in the same room together in years. And, we had no thoughts at all that the Eagles would even, you know, the rest of the guys, we knew Henley was deeply involved in it, but we didn't think the rest of them even would know about it or care, you know. But that video that Travis did was the catalyst for bringing those guys back together.
I looked at it as the whole album. I mean, I remember when I got the album, I was excited because I love the Eagles. And then, you know, shortly after that, boom, hell freezes over. So it was pretty exciting.
Yep. Yeah, it was a very interesting time.
Look what you did, Dwayne.
Yeah, I
blame Travis for that completely. That's all his fault.
It's all his fault. Well, yeah. I do want to play a little bit of God Bless Texas, and then I'm also going to do the one we just had Neil McCoy on. Why don't I just bring that up? Because I think it's funny. Because when we had Neil McCoy on, he talked about growing up with you and cutting lawns.
Yeah, that's how I met Neil. Yeah.
He's cutting lawns, like cutting your, was it your parents' house or grandparents'?
Well, I was cutting my grass and he was cutting my next door neighbor's grass. And there's a lady across the street from us. And he, for some reason, he thinks that was my grandmother, but it wasn't my grandmother. Her name is Mary Marks and he cut her grass too. But anyway, I'd be cutting my grass and I was in high school. I think I was 14 or 15 at the time. And we stopped our lawnmowers, you know, together. It was, you know, East Texas heat, 104 degrees and 95% humidity. And, you know, just kind of cool. Obviously, we just started talking. And I remember I knew who he was, and he really didn't know me from Adam. But I was like, hey, man, you know, I saw you at Canton's Chinese restaurant, and I love your voice. And I hear you're been, you know, doing some stuff with Charlie Pride. And I said, you've been to Nashville lately to do anything? And he goes, yeah, I was just there not long ago cutting some demos. I said, well, who played bass on them? And he goes, oh, this guy from Los Angeles. I think he's originally from Texas, but I'm not sure. His name's David Hun. David Hun something. David Hungate? So, yeah, that was his name. And this was the year that Toto 4 came out, right? Like the biggest Toto album that there was. And I was completely immersed in it. And I about fell over. I was like, you had Toto's bass player playing on your demo in Nashville. Seriously. And you can't remember his name. Neil, man. I got to get you educated, pal.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, we brought it up on the interview, too, because of your note about you saw him at that thing. He was singing Luther Vandross.
Well, what I remember him singing was Al Jarreau.
Al Jarreau, right.
Yeah, he was doing Al Jarreau, and it was him and a piano player. And there might have been a bass player. I can't remember. It was, you know, 40-something years ago. But I remember him singing Melody, and it sounded just like Al Jarreau. Right. And I was like, who is this guy, and where's he from? And, you know, just another Longview boogerhead like me. And I'm like, how is this talent not out there, you know, playing the tonks like I am? And, you know, he's playing a jazz at a little restaurant. You know, it blew my mind. And then he became Neil McCoy. So there you go.
And then he became Neil McCoy.
And he became Neil.
Wow. You know, that just is amazing how life works. And,
yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, you know, why don't we do this? Because one of the things is that you're promoting is the Friday release of Amy's Back in Austin. Mm-hmm. You got the Eli Young Band and you got George Burge on this, right?
Right.
What was that like to get those two heavyweights on this?
Well, you know, again, it was something I really didn't have a lot to do with. The executive producer, Brandon Steen, knew those guys and he asked them to be part of it. And I did the tracks and made sure all the musical stuff was there. And I have not been in the studio with anybody on this project at all. I've turned them completely loose to their devices to interpret these songs the way they want. The way I wanted this to come across is to have it sound almost exactly like the original track. So if you're listening to it, it comes across your radio or across your Alexa or whatever you're listening to it on. You think it's the original song and then bam, it hits you with a completely different vocal and it makes your ears prick up a little bit. You're like, hey, wait, you know, that's not Little Texas. Who is that? So, I let those guys just do exactly what they wanted to do. And then we just kind of took the best parts of each one of them and put them together and made it work.
Sweet. It's amazing. So I figure, why don't we do that? Cause that's what you're actually promoting is the release of that song mm-hmm. on Friday. Why don't I play a little bit of Amy's Back in Austin? This was one of those songs that I love too. You know, I have to think too, Dwayne, that, you know, you're as the bass player and you do the harmonies. When these songs are presented to you, do you have some goosebump moments you had in the studio when a song was presented and you were like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing, or in the rehearsal space and it was brought to you and you had a good moment.
I mean, usually we would just be doing a sound check or something and the guys say, hey, we got this new one, you know, let's try this out. And we worked up 95% of everything we ever recorded in sound checks.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We never went in. We didn't have time. We didn't have time to go sit down and rehearse somewhere. We were, you know, on the road 200 something days a year. So everything either happened on the bus or usually over a couple of days doing sound checks. And then we had the arrangement and, you know, ran in the studio and we record, you know, pretty much live.
So for example, I mean, it's back in Austin. Was that one of those that came up at soundcheck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That's
Stephen Allen Davis had this song about 80% done, probably more than 80%, probably more like 90, and brought it to us. And then we did a little tweaks on it and changed a couple of things, you know, here and there, just minute things.
That's interesting. So was it to the point, like, I think it was Jackson Browne's Running on Empty. That album literally was recorded some songs on the touring bus, some at the hotel, somewhere. So is that what we're talking about here?
Oh, well, no. I mean, we recorded all this stuff in Memphis.
But
you were actually working Amy was recorded in Nashville at Sound Shop. But everything, the only album that we did in Nashville was the Kick Lil album that Amy was on. Everything else was done at Arden Studios in Memphis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the writing of the songs occurred primarily on the bus or in Sound Shop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's still amazing to me.
What Might Have Been was written on a trip in between Las Vegas and Oklahoma City.
Wow.
And we got to Oklahoma City and the three guys emerged from the back of the bus and reeking of bourbon, basically. And said, hey, we got the song. If we just finished this thing, listen to it, you know, sing with it. And I heard it and I was like, my Lord, this is going to be huge. And we did it that night just with an acoustic guitar. And the crowd was just deathly silent. And then screams, you know, we had to do that song three times that night.
It, wow. It
just blew their minds.
They demanded, huh?
Mm-hmm. I can believe
it. When we had John Barry on and, you know, he has that song, Your Love Amazes Me, right? And when he performs a song, there's dead silence. And to me, that silence is as big as 70,000 people yelling, right? Because they're so locked in on that song, you can hear a pin drop. That's right. When you know you've got something, right?
Absolutely.
If I were to say that, so obviously, you know, every decade's got great country. I do think there was a sound and a sensibility to the 90s country.
Definitely.
Great. That a lot of the young artists we've been talking to, we're starting to hear them come back with a sound that every time I hear, it's like, man, that makes me think of 93, 94. I mean, do you feel like that decade, especially maybe that first half, really was a very special time in terms of the sound of country?
I don't know what it was about the sound. I think it was because we were finally getting to have more than 24 tracks. Of course, now you can have 2,400 tracks, you know, but, you know, we were kind of stuck at 32 at that point. We were able to do a little bit more, you know, track wise, but I honestly can't put a finger on what it was, you know, the class of 90, 91, 92, 93, you know, all those artists that came out in that era. It was just one of those weird times that everything was clicking on all cylinders. You know,
but am I right in saying I hear there was something?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you look at a lot of those songs, they're still being played every single day of the week, you know, in gold rotation, even on mainstream top 40 radio. You know, you're going to hear one of those songs from that era, whether it be Brooks and Dunn or Tracy Lawrence or us or Pam Tillis, you know, Garth Brooks,
Black Hawk.
Yeah. You know,
well, thank goodness we had it.
Yes. I'm very happy we had that time.
Oh, I am too. Because I'm not lying. When those first three records, I had on a heavy rotation in my car. The CDs were in my car. And learned every song vocally, like just to listen to them and sing along in the car. And so, yeah, it's very special. Little Texas was one of those bands. I actually went to see you live in Great Adventure in New Jersey.
Oh, like, yeah.
Piccolo came out. And I went with my brother and it was raining and I didn't care. I was so happy. Like you guys.
I remember that day. Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah, Great I do. Adventure
in New Jersey?
Yeah. That's I remember crazy. Being there and it was raining real hard and they it was to ride the roller coasters that day. I was so disappointed.
All right, Dwayne. So I'm married into a Texas family. I've had this conversation with folks at Strike TV. What do you consider to be the most iconic music hall in Texas?
Oh, man. Well, there's some that aren't even around anymore. As far as iconic, Gillies, you know, of course is the king, you know, the whole Urban Cowboy craze, the Urban Cowboy album, you know, by itself was such a fantastic piece of work. Mm-hmm. I guess as far as the ones that are open now, it would be Billy Bob's Texas in Fort Worth.
Interesting. So one far, of
my favorites, you
know? So you're split. It's either people do mention Gillies, but it's either Billy Bob's or Green Hall.
Yeah, Green Hall. Yeah. Yes, both of them, but for completely different reasons. Green Hall is just different and weird. And I mean, it is. It's like playing in an old smokehouse or something. And Billy Bob's is the epitome of what you would think of for a Texas honky tonk. You know, lots of neon, humongous room, indoor rodeo,
a real rodeo?
Yeah. Yeah. They have a real rodeo.
Not like a mechanical bull. You're talking real rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Damn.
There's a rodeo arena in it. Yeah.
Woo. There you go. You get really, really a show there.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. I want to play a little bit of Amy's Back in Austin. Again, it's Eli Young Band with George. It's George Burge, right? That's how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, I kept saying George Berge for some reason. And I had to correct myself. I'm glad I never met him and said it wrong. Right? I corrected myself. But he would be. Yeah. Until I left.
Until you left and he dog catch you.
What an a-hole, yeah. All right, so I'll play a little bit of this. I'm going to hit mute on us. There's no video. This is just a soundtrack, so we'll just look at each other. That's always nice. But here's the song. This, again, is Amy's Back in Austin with Eli Young and George Burge. And here it is. Let's listen to this.
We left Texas on a windy night in a beat up Chevy.
So good. What a take on that tune here. Get everyone back in here audio wise. What a beautiful, just a take on that great song.
Oh, it's incredible.
Thank you.
Wow. You know, is there a song that, you know, you mentioned the Big Six. Is there another one that stands out to you that you guys have done that we asked this of Mickey Thomas. This is the question I really want to ask of Starship. We said, is there ever a song that you felt was going to be huge and it didn't go anywhere? Did you ever feel like you have a song like that?
I think that there were some that could have been huge that never got released. And you're going to ask me which ones. And then I would really have to sit here and think for 15 minutes ago. Well, yeah, we had a song on an album we did back in 2007, called Missing Years. It's on kind of an independent label, kind of a new label in Nashville. Didn't last very long. Like most of them don't seem to, but, the song's called Missing Years and it was really, really good. I mean, powerful song. It was one of those situations that was a lot like what might've been. When you listen to it, you would feel it because you've been there in some way or another. You have been in this position where you go back in time and, you know, you go back to a hometown or go back to a place or a time in your mind and you realize what you thought was not the best place to be at the time was exactly what you needed, you know, and you were probably happier then than you are maybe now. It's a weird way to put it, but you'd have to hear the song to understand it. But
I get you. That is a very real thing. Yep.
Yeah.
But it never got off the ground in a sense.
It charted. It did okay. I think it made up somewhere in the 20s. But you know, radio promotion and the whole radio game had changed so much at that point that you know I think we could have put out "God Bless Texas" sideways and it wouldn't have done any better.
That makes me think. So like, what might have been what? How did that just explode? Was it the live show and word of mouth? Was it radio promotion and label? What
made it? It was radio promotion and label, but the thing that catapulted that song was the video. The video was so strong and told such a beautiful story that it just grabbed everybody by the throat.
The power of the music video back then.
Yeah. Sometimes you had one that was just undeniable. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to have two, you know, with What Might Have Been and God Bless Texas that were just massive hits.
I'd like to share my
God Bless Texas and What Might Have Been memory, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, please, Storm.
Okay, so my first job is a restaurant called Texas Lucy's. You might know of that in Texas.
Stormy, can you hear us? Stormy? Can you hear us?
I'm here.
You're breaking up. I'm here. You're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up a little bit audio wise. Start over again. You were breaking up.
Is it better?
Can you hear us? Yeah, try now. Yeah. Start talking now. Say it again.
Okay. So my first job was
just start over.
My first job was at Texas Lucy's, and those two songs were on the continuous play that they would, you know, playing over the restaurant.
Oh, really? There.
Yeah, 16. So I'd hear those songs. Absolutely. So I'm tickled to be sitting here with you.
That's good to know. Yeah. You know, it's amazing how those things stick around and the places that you're going to hear them. That's pretty cool. That's good to know.
And in the harmonies, are you the high harmony?
I'm the low harmony. I'm the low,
low harmony. Mm-hmm. Who takes the high harmony?
Dwayne O'Brien.
Okay. Yeah, we talk about this a lot too. I had done a lot of posts on Little River Band earlier in this year, getting ready to do even more, and a lot of discussion around just the impact of that three-part harmony. And on the rock side, you don't see as many bands doing that anymore. You know, at least in country, you still get it. But yeah, that three-part harmony is powerful stuff, especially that high harmony coming in.
It's hard to do. These songs are not easy. I mean, the melodies aren't anything like what you hear now. You know, obviously, there's more than four notes involved. I said that out loud.
I loved it.
But yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of, you know, a lot of movement in there, and that third gets way up there. I mean, a lot of people just can't do it, and there's a lot of jumping around that you have to do. There's to do these harmony things, especially with these songs, it's kind of vocal gymnastics.
Yeah,
it's not the easiest thing to catch. So
yeah, I love it.
But yeah, he does a great job with that stuff, even now.
That's so awesome. I'll tell you, again, going back, you know, what your songs have meant. And so everyone can go get right now, God Bless Texas, First Time for Everything, which is Neil McCoy.
Yeah.
It's awesome. We played that. We actually played that when he was on with us. We played that song. And then we're doing Amy's Back in Austin. The three remaining, I know What Might Have Been. What were the other two?
My Love and Kick a Little.
Oh, My Love.
My Love's another beautiful song.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We just finished that one up. That's going to be Colby Cooper. And Colby did all the vocals himself on this thing. Wow. And I was just knocked out. I mean, this kid is such a talent. We met him 2 years ago. We did a show with him in Texas. And, you know, to be so young and to be that good, he's frightening. And he's such a sweetheart of a guy, too. You know,
did he know your songs?
Yeah. Yeah. He had grown up in Little Texas.
A young kid that knows your songs. That's
a yeah, no, it's amazing.
All right.
But, you know, he's from Tyler, which is 30 miles from Longview. So, you know, you've got to.
I love it.
Definitely grew up with us. You know,
that's fantastic. I love that. Well, again, everyone go get it. Those songs are out now. December 1st comes Amy's Back in Austin. You just heard My Love's Coming, Kick a Little, Cause a Stir. Gotta Kick a Little, Cause a Stir. I love it. And then,
you're hard.
And What Might Have Been, which everyone I'm sure will be going nuts for. So, Dwayne, thank you for taking time out of your life.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Dwayne Propes, everybody. Dwayne, thank you, man. Little Texas. Long live Little Texas. Yeah.
Gonna have to. Gotta put that kid through college.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah, I hear you.
Just keep touring.
Oh, there yeah. No choice. No choice. Appreciate y'all.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Have a good night.